this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive. From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this story that definitely caught my eye from roadtrippers.com. Headline, something strange is stalking cows in North Carolina. Seems like the headline was written just for us, doesn't it? According to reports filed with MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, some strange things have been happening in North Carolina, from unexplainable lights to sightings of alien creatures. A witness in the tiny town of Weaverville gave testimony to MUFON that recapped an encounter with a, quote, strange being creeping around a cow pasture. The witness says that he and his colleague were enjoying a nice night on their porch when they noticed something in the nearby pasture that definitely was not a cow. Quote, I saw something move by a tree just above the lower pasture. I kept my eyes there, and it stepped out. Strangest thing I ever saw. It looked really tall, 7 to 10 feet, really skinny, stick-like. I could see long fingers on the hands. It was approximately 20 feet from a cow that it appeared to be watching. As soon as I moved, it sprinted toward the woods at the base of a small mountain or hill. The sprint was more like speed walking with long strides. It was grayish brown, blended perfectly with the trees. As I saw it enter the tree line, it paused and looked back over toward me, end quote. At that point, the witness ran indoors to grab a pair of binoculars. By the time he came back out, the strange creature had disappeared. They say this comes as the latest in a long line of bizarre encounters reported in the Tar Heel State, from unexplainable ghost lights to creepy black-eyed children, and yes, even sightings of a vampire beast blamed for stacks of dead cattle. So not surprising that old North Carolina is making some national headlines for weird activity, and that's the kind of thing we're going to be digging into on the show tonight, as usual. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
And a good evening to you too, sir. How are you down there?
I am really excited because tonight's show is going to be amazing. You're right, Sam, when you say down there, I'm still here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. I'm at the base camp here in Puerto Rico. Next month, I will be back in Asheville. I haven't been in Asheville in quite a while now. And so it's kind of odd when I say, hey, it's exciting. We're going to do something unusual tonight. We're going to have a guest in the studio. But I'm not even in the studio.
It's going to be weird when you are in the studio, because I have never done a show with you in the studio.
That's true, yes. Well, it's maybe there'll be some kind of strange romantic tension there.
Some
footsie? Something like that. Who knows? Either that or we'll end up in a fist fight at some point.
That's more like it.
Yes. And of course, usually we have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop in the studio. She is not here tonight. She's out in the field on assignment, clearly up to no good. And so that will make some room for our guest tonight. He is one of my best friends. I've known him for years. One of the most fascinating people in the world, and I mean that wholeheartedly. And I was just talking about him on the last show. I referred to him as the Sherlock Holmes of historians. His name is Mr. Vance Pollack, and he and I have worked on all kinds of bizarre and weird projects. I mean, getting down to the bottom of the underground tunnel system in Asheville, and digging up every type of, you know, murder story related to ghostly things, and Brown Mountain Light stuff. And Vance is he's one of these guys who just has sort of this magical serendipity on his side. When he goes in to research a case, he just sort of stumbles onto all these facts that lead him in the right direction. It's a synchronicity to the max. And I don't know where he gets this sort of charm from, but I brought his name up on the last show because, of course, we featured a photograph that was taken last month in Asheville, a mysterious ghost photograph from a ghost tour. Now, Sam, I don't want to tell everybody what the result of our investigation has been yet.
Okay.
We'll wait until hour number two, but I want everybody to know, I said I was going to put a crack team on this to get to the bottom of it. I've been researching it. Vance has been researching it. Mobius has. C. Eric Scott has. And we have reached a verdict. And we think we've gotten to the bottom of this amazing, quote-unquote, ghost photograph that was taken last month.
And without going into anything, just seeing some of the research that Mobius did, I was quite impressed. I didn't even know you could get that much information off of a photograph. Like, much stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You know, people don't realize that when you take a photograph and you just sort of haphazardly post it on the internet, somebody who knows what they're doing can take that photograph, and unless it's been intentionally wiped or distorted, they can tell where you were when it was shot, what time it was shot, what kind of camera that you had, what kind of features you were using on the camera. I mean, you can actually get more scientific information from an original digital than you can a film negative.
It literally had the person who assembled it in Japan's grandmother's maiden name on it. I mean, that was how deep it was. I was like, what?
Yeah, and so that's why you also have to be careful. You know, some people get in trouble.
GPS coordinates and all that. And
Yeah. Just recently I saw a news story about a Russian soldier who was posting selfies on, I guess, his Facebook page or something like that. And this was at a point when the Russians were not supposed to be on Ukraine territory, but the GPS on his pictures told a different story. And so, you know, it caused sort of a national scandal that people were using this one dude's digital photos to determine the military structure of the whole country at that time. And so, man, just imagine, I bet you if we had Facebook and cell phones and texting, I don't think we could have pulled off D-Day. You know, I don't think we could have kept that secret, man. So,
How would you tweet if you're like trying to get off of the carrier through the water onto the beachfront? And
yeah. So when Vance gets into the studio later on, first off, we're going to talk about this photograph, and it was actually taken in June here in Asheville. And we had Greg Becker on the show last week talking about it, and so we'll let everybody know what we came up with. And then we're just going to dig into all kinds of strange, quirky history. And I've been meaning to catch up with Vance for a while. He's been on the show before, but it's been a while. I've been wanting to get him back on. And he's got so much interesting stuff to talk about that I don't even prep too much for it. I'm just like, hey, sit him down. Let's have a conversation. There's no telling what he's been looking into. So in addition to that, I also want to give everybody a little reminder now that this coming Friday, August the 15th, is going to be the 37th anniversary of the WOW signal. And I told everybody last week that I'm working on this big project with George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM. It's an experiment. The WOW signal came from outer space and was picked up at the Big Ear Telescope in Ohio. It was 72 seconds long. For you techies out there, it was at about 1.42 gigahertz. And it seemed to be a very highly intelligent, well-designed signal. And nobody's been able to explain it. They've searched for it over the decades, and nobody's ever found it again. So on the date, the anniversary, August 15th, I am spearheading this project down here in Puerto Rico, which we're calling the Arecibo Project. I'm going to have radio technicians in Arecibo and other places projecting a message from George Norrie back into outer space. And if you would like to participate in this process, well, guess what? You can do it. If you are a ham radio operator, it's easy. If you do experiments with radionics and wishing machines, well, there's a way you can help us with that. But anybody out there can just use their own telepathy, their own sort of mental projection to think about this message and think about sending it into space. And if you want to hear George's message and find all the details and all the instructions, just go to arecibo.com. That's A-R-E-C-I-B-O, arecibo.com. And you can listen to George's message. You can download it. You'll find a transcript there. And you'll also find what will be the live web stream that we're going to have running most of the day on August 15th of the skies, because part of George's message includes specific GPS coordinates where we are asking these visitors from space to appear at a hot spot here in Puerto Rico.
Just let me tell you, I think that's really cool, man. Really cool.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited about it, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe this is going to be the big breakthrough. Maybe this is contact. Whatever happens, it's going to be a great experiment. So arecibo.com, everybody should go there right now, familiarize yourself with the project. We're going to take a break. When we come back, how about this for a headline? Real life horror, man cuts his own head off. He did it intentionally, and I'll explain when we return. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. Presented by Wright's Coin Shop, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Again, write that number down, 828-298-5402. You'll also find a link if you go to speakingofstrange.com, along with a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, links to all kinds of cool stuff like the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours at hauntedasheville.com, along with our Facebook page, Twitter, etc. And, you know, I do have plenty of crazy stories to dig into, but there is one thing that is not directly related to our content, but I just have to talk about this because, in my opinion, in my world, it's so cool. Sam, would you consider yourself a sportsman of any kind?
Yes, tennis.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to state. I don't like to toot my own horn, but I went to state in men's mixed doubles 3 years ago, you know.
Wow. Yeah. 3 years ago?
Yeah,
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, and also you're kind of a BMXer, right?
I like to ride the bike, but I'm not doing any tail whips, no flares. But, yeah, I mean, we're getting old. We're getting brittle. Yourself?
I've never really been that much of a sportsman unless you would consider scuba diving and snorkeling sportsman-like things. Would you consider that in the ballpark, in the arena?
Yeah, a waterman.
A waterman?
No, that's what they're called in the Hawaiian culture. A waterman is like, you know, somebody who would surf, who could paddleboard, a good swimmer,
okay.
A lifeguard, a waterman.
Okay, well, I am a waterman then. Thank you, Sam. I did not know that about myself. And I became a certified scuba diver long ago. I was, I think, like 19 or something like that. And these days, however, I really enjoy snorkeling so much more because it's just so much simpler. And when I'm down here in Puerto Rico, I can literally get up whenever I get up in the morning, whatever it may be, and walk 5 minutes, and there is a nice, beautiful beach with clear aquamarine water, and I can jump into the warm water, and I can snorkel over to a reef, and I can see fish, and it's just, it's amazing.
Stop.
It's probably my favorite thing to do in the world after all the X-rated stuff,
oh.
Right? Yeah. And so, being a guy who has snorkeled for decades, I've introduced a lot of people to snorkeling when they come down here. Have you done any snorkeling yourself, Sam?
No, I mean, I've tried, but I've always had, the issue of, A, I'm not very good at buoyancy unless I'm in, like, very salty water, and B, I always suck in the salt water.
Yeah. Well, really? Those are some of the common problems. Some people feel a bit claustrophobic because if you've never snorkeled before, I'll just tell everybody, it's essentially a simple process. You put on a mask, and the mask has a hose clipped to the side, and you just sort of put your face in the water and swim around and breathe through the hose. It sounds simple, but it's very unnatural for one thing because, well, obviously anytime you're sticking your face in the water and breathing, there's a part of your body that's screaming, no, no, you know, this is not right. Then you've got this thing in your mouth, and you can only breathe through your mouth. You can't breathe through your nose. You've got this mask on, which gives you a limited field of view because you've got the ability to see straight forward, but you can't usually see on the sides. The mask easily fogs up, and you have to stop and defog it as often as possible. Water seeps in there.
Now, at the risk of sounding, ignorant, when you're snorkeling, I mean, you can go down under the water, you know, for as long as you can hold your breath. But other than that, you kind of have to be where the snorkel is out of the water. So is it like
yes.
a shallow – Is it? It's not always a shallow water activity though, right?
Well, I mean, if you're going to breathe, it is. Yeah, because you're right. You can only breathe as long as you're on the surface. But you can dive down as deep as you can go and holding your breath and then come right back up, clear your snorkel, and continue.
But now when you're scuba diving, you also have a snorkel. So when you're kind of just resting at the surface and just hanging out, you can breathe through the snorkel without having to use up your air.
Okay. 'Cause
sometimes the water will be just like right at your lip level or something like that. So, so a lot of ladies in particular have problems with traditional snorkeling because they may have long hair, and when they put the mask on, especially if they've got like their hair pulled into a ponytail, they got to try to work the ponytail around the strap, and it pulls their hair, and it's just – it can be very uncomfortable for people. So I, about 2 months ago, saw this video on the internet about – a brand new snorkeling mask that was invented in France. And I watched this video and said, oh my God, I've got to have this thing. This mask, it's called the Easy Breath mask, invented by a company called Tribord. Now imagine this. It's a full face mask. When you put the mask on, nothing goes into your mouth. And you can breathe normally through your nose and your mouth. The nose-mouth section is separated from the eye section, so it never fogs up. You never get any water leaking in there. There is a 180-degree field of vision because the whole thing, including the sides, is clear, so you can see left and right as well as straight ahead. It's got a nice big long snorkel hose that comes out of the center and goes up even longer than a regular snorkel with a special valve on top that will not allow water to come in. And it also has these really nice, comfortable, soft straps on the back that you can adjust to keep it firmly in place, but also you can work with it if you're a lady and you've got, you know, again, that ponytail sort of thing. It just – I mean, this thing looked amazing to me. It looks like some kind of spaceman's mask. And I contacted the company in France, and I said, I want to get one of these. And they said, well, we're sorry, but we're not going to be sending these or exporting these to the U.S. until maybe sometime next year. And I said, well, you know, can you just send me one just directly? And they said, nope, sorry. They said, but if you know somebody in Europe – then they can buy one from a Decathlon store that we're about to stock, and then maybe they can ship it to you. And I said, okay, fine. So I contacted some of my friends in Europe, and I had two or three people say, okay, yeah, we'll go. We'll buy you one. We'll ship it to you. So, but every time they would go to the store, this thing was sold out because it just came out. So I just been keeping my eye on eBay, and finally a lady in the UK popped up with a handful of these things. And I immediately, of course, bought one. So I got it shipped to me from the UK. Shipping and handling everything, the whole shebang, cost me $138 for this mask.
Oh, I thought just the shipping was the...
No, that's the mask and everything, okay. Which I think is really a good deal for this kind of quality. So this thing arrived, and I couldn't wait to strap it on and run out and jump in the water. And let me tell you, Sam... this thing is so awesome, I forgot I was snorkeling.
I watched the video that you had sent, and it's I love it when somebody makes, you know, how long has snorkeling been around? You'd have to think hundreds of years, if not longer, probably. And then
probably.
It's like a little, it's like, hey, you know what would make it better? And they just do something that makes it better.
Yeah, you know? I mean, they won some kind of like top inventor's prize for this, and they deserved it. It is so amazing. It takes something that I already enjoyed and just, doubles, triples, quadruples that enjoyment. You could put this thing on a baby and throw them in the water, and they'd just
not
be swimming around breathing.
Speaking of strange, does not endorse throwing babies.
Anywhere, even in the ocean. So I just got to give a shout out to these guys, and I don't know when this is going to be in the U.S., but if you get your hands on one of these, do it. I'm going to have a link up at speakingofstrange.com so you can watch the video that Sam was talking about, but hats off to the people who made this amazing mask. Okay. We are now going to take another break, and when we come back, okay, I will finally get to this story. Real life horror. Man cuts his own head off, and yes, he meant to do it, I'll explain when we come back. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Point Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
I'm a scary gargoyle on a tower that you made with plastic power. Your rhinestone eyes are like factories far away. Where the paralytic dreams that we all seem to keep drive on engines till they weep with future pixels in factories far away. So call the mainland from the beach. Your party's now washed up in bleach. The waves are rising for this time of year. And nobody knows what to do with the heat. Under sunshine, pylons will meet while rain is falling like grindstones from the sky.
It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and it's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money. And you can call them at 828-298-5402. How about this story from the UK? Real life horror. Man cuts his own head off with a chainsaw on purpose. A 50-year-old man committed suicide in protest as his apartment building was being demolished. This is according to the BBC. The man had refused several offers of alternative housing before taking his own life in the most violent and shocking way possible, they say. The deputy coroner says, "I'm speechless. In the 15 years I've been at my post, this is the most bizarre case I can recall. Doesn't even seem humanly possible this could have happened." The man left a note to police and city officials that his only regret was that he could not do to each of them what he was about to do to himself. But if there was a life after death, he had made a pact with the devil that he would be coming for each of them.
That's a ridiculous way to try to off yourself.
Well, especially over an apartment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like my apartment complex either. However, I just put bad things on their Facebook wall. I'm not whipping out. And speaking of chainsaw, just let me interject. You're a fan of horror movies, are you not?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Did you see that Scream Queen Marilyn Burns passed away this week? She was the survivor in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Remember at the end
of the movie, she's like, you know, crying and covered in blood, running in the truck, you know, driving away. She made it through the night.
Yeah.
And she passed away this week.
Well, you know, I did not know that, but it's interesting that you bring up that movie because a few years ago, I worked on a Warner Brothers production called The Apparition. And this was a movie about some college students who cobble together this makeshift experiment to try to create a ghost. And obviously things go terribly awry. And so it begins attacking them. Well, they hired me as the ghost consultant. That's literally what it says in the credits next to my name.
Are you on ghost IMDb consult- as a ghost, ghost consultant?
I am. I certainly am. If you go to IMDb, you will see ghost consultant on this major Warner Brothers movie next to my name.
And I have your number. Wow.
Yeah. What a lucky man. But as part of this movie, they flew me out to Los Angeles, and they interviewed me on the set of the movie to put into some of the behind-the-scenes Blu-ray and DVD extras. We did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for this movie. But I was there on the set with, like, one of the stars from Harry Potter and one of the stars from Twilight. And they spent all day talking to me, and then that evening they finished up shooting, the whole crew did, pretty late, and everybody was exhausted. And so we all piled into this van. They had a series of vans taking people back and forth from the set to the parking area. So I'm sitting in the back seat of this van next to this kind of like grungy old guy with a gray beard and a ball cap on. And we're both kind of worn out. But at some point we start chatting back and forth. And I asked him, I was like, so what do you do on this movie? And I figured he was going to say like, oh, I'm a grip or something. He says, well, I'm the DP. And I said, wow, you know, that's a big deal for those of you who aren't in the cinema world. That means he's the director of photography. He's the man who's in charge of actually filming the thing. And so I started, you know, asking him about his job. And turns out this guy that I was sitting next to, and I went back and authorized this, and it's all bona fide, it's true. That guy was the guy who filmed the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I thought you were going to go with it was Kane Hodder who played Leatherface. Kane Hodder played Jason. But, that's awesome, man. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those little brushes with real cinema history that I just happened to.
And talk about doing a lot with a little, you know, like they did not have a big budget on that. And, you know, that was an excellent movie and they did the most with what they had. And, five bonus points. Who was the narrator at the beginning of the movie? Famous television star.
It wasn't Walter Cronkite or something like that.
No, he was on a sitcom on NBC.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
John Larroquette.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is funny. My favorite character from Night Court.
Huh.
I had a brush with John Larroquette, as a matter of fact.
And it goes on.
Yeah, it does. And we could play this, you know, Kevin Bacon game all day. Yeah, he was in Asheville. He was in the movie Richie Rich, and I was on the set of Richie Rich, and I won't say I met him, but I, you know, we brushed shoulders, that sort of thing.
And now Harry Anderson is a resident of Monford.
Speaking of Harry Anderson, though, I won't continue. Okay, getting back to the horrible news, here's a story in related news. And by the way, I do have a Harry Anderson story. So this one is from the UK. I'm sorry, no. This is from Japan. The other one was from the UK. Another horrible headline. Girl, 16 years old, saws classmate's head off.
Kids.
Yeah. 16-year-old girl in Nagasaki has been arrested after confessing to murdering her classmate by beating her with a hammer and sawing her head off with a hacksaw. The murderer, who cannot be named under Japanese law, described her brutal killing of a 15-year-old online on live chat with a large group, and her words are truly chilling. She said, quote, oh, no, blood keeps pouring out, even though I have wiped it away many times. I've tried to warm the body as it got cold, but it doesn't warm up. Everyone, do you want to know what color her brain is? I can see inside her head. Now I sawed it off, end quote.
Oh. What color so this was her brain?
I don't have the follow-up, but I'm imagining either red or white. So she says, okay, well, this was one of her classmates, and it says that she uploaded several photos of herself covered in blood after the brutal murder. Japanese police are trying to make some sense out of this horrible crime, and the girl, when questioned as to why she did this, said that she believed a sacrifice was necessary to befriend anime demons and gain their friendship and powers.
Had to come back to anime.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because this reminds a lot of people about the horrible murder. Well, I guess it was an attempted murder of a girl about 3 months ago in the U.S. You may recall a couple of her friends lured her into the woods, stabbed her 16 times, and left her for dead. But the girl was able to crawl out of the woods, and she was rescued. And when they questioned those two girls who had tried to kill her, they said that they did this as a sacrifice to Slender Man, that they wanted to join his demonic army and gain his power and abilities.
I remember you talking about that. That was wild. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these kinds of stories are bizarre because, okay, for one thing, we're talking about little girls doing this. And then secondly, we're talking about this resurgence of the idea that you can make a human sacrifice and, you know, gain satanic powers, but through obviously fictional formats. So
pagans, they all are.
Something weird's going on. Okay, we're coming up. Actually, you know, we got a little bit of time, don't we? Okay. I'll read one more story here. This one, do you have the old Florida bell on hand there, Sam?
I do now.
Okay, here's one from Coral Springs, Florida. Couple were perplexed. They were sitting in their living room, and they heard a knock on the door early on a Thursday morning. Knock, knock, knock. They went over, opened the door. Guess what was out there? A 9-foot alligator. The guy said, I couldn't believe it. I thought it wasn't real at first. The guy says it was facing the front window, and the gator kept knocking on the door like he was demanding me make him a sandwich.
What was it, his
they
tail?
Called the police. It kind of reminds me of, what's the old SNL skit with the shark?
Oh, yeah.
What was he saying when he would knock on the door?
Why do you got to ask? Now I can't think of it.
We'll think of it. That's what happens when you're on the radio. You can never think of things at the moment. I don't know, pizza delivery or whatever the shark would say. We'll think about it. Oh, we'll take a break when we come back. Filled with 80 human skeletons. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
They only come a tan about twice a year.
Don't be shy, follow the tone of my voice. Check out my new weapon. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, Candy Graham, that was it. The old shark knocking on the door, offering the Candy Graham. Well, down in Florida, it's now the alligators. And
you never did say how the alligator knocked on the stupid door.
Well, it doesn't specify that in the story, so I can imagine he was either using his tail or just bumping his nose. I mean, animals are getting smarter. You've seen Planet of the Apes. You know what's happening out there. Eventually, they learn how to make bows and arrows and spears. And it's a predictable story. It's probably happened.
You've heard it a thousand
time and time again. Through eons, civilizations rise and fall every time the monkeys learn how to make weapons. And of course, now coming up next hour, hour number two, you've got to stick around, because not only are we going to reveal to you what we discovered when the crack team started digging in to the mysterious ghost photo from Asheville that we talked about on the show, but we are going to have in the studio, live, the Sherlock Holmes of historians, Mr. Vance Pollack, and there's no telling the twisted rabbit holes that our conversations will take, because Vance, he's one of those guys who has that serendipity. He just strolls into the most amazing series of facts and synchronicities you can ever imagine that lead him to profound historic revelations.
How is he supposed to live up to that?
I know, it's going to be tough, but he'll pull it off. Now keep in mind, tonight's show brought to you by Wright Coin Shop. And, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop. You'll also find a link to Christopher's Computers, christopherscomputers.com. Now, here I am in Puerto Rico. Sam is at the flagship station there in Asheville, and we are bringing this show to you through the power of a Christopher computer. And it doesn't matter if you are interested in a new computer or having your computer updated or cleaned so it goes a little faster, or you got to remove some viruses. It's intimidating when you start talking to people in the computer business, because you always feel like somebody's trying to rip you off because they know things that you don't know. Christopher is a friend of mine. He's a friend of Sam's. He's a good, honest, straight-up guy, and if you have any questions about computers, I give you my word, he'll give you a straight deal. ChristophersComputers.com. You can call them at 828-670-9800. He's on Merriman Avenue in Asheville, 828-670-9800, and there's a link for him there at speakingofstrange.com.
And he's discreet. Like my buddy's the guy who will fix your computers. They're not going to talk. If you got something weird, it's all good.
All of your porn.
All good.
A blind eye is cast on all of that filth. So.
Yep.
Here's a story from Sweden. A woman who lifted up a tarp inside a church in southern Sweden was shocked to discover a stash of plastic IKEA bags filled with human bones. Quote, there were loads of skulls and bones stuffed. I counted up to 80, said the woman about her gruesome discovery. Says she was furious to discover the bones had been sitting there since 2009. Why? Well, apparently they were pulled from under the floorboards during a remodeling at the church. They were going to install a wheelchair access ramp. And some of these bones may be 500 years old, but the archaeologists who were working on the project said there was some kind of a delay in determining exactly how these remains were to be treated and how they were to be reburied. And somebody obviously dropped the ball at some point, and so for years – These bags with, 80 skulls and the skulls and bones of up to 80 people is what I understand, have just been sitting there and kind of forgotten about. And it makes you wonder how often that kind of thing takes place. In fact, when Vance comes on next hour, I think he's been doing some research about the bodies that were once buried on Church Street in Asheville that were – well, supposedly moved.
Disinterred.
And it's one of those things. Yeah, well, you know, you hear stories like that. I mean, I always heard that there were bodies on that street, but at one point they attempted to move them. But I don't know the facts behind it. I think because of this ghost photo controversy, he's been learning about that. So we'll see what he has to say. I will tell you, however, that, you know, when I wrote my Haunted Asheville book, which has been, amazingly enough, about 20 years ago, I wrote a story about my high school, Clyde A. Irwin High School, and honest to goodness, it was built on the grounds of an old cemetery, a Buncombe County land, well, I guess they call it a potter's field, and most of those bodies were moved when they decided to build the school there, but not all of them, so that's fitting, isn't it? We're going to take a break. When we come back, Vance Pollock, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. This is Speaking of Strange.